You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Tuesday, it's the double-headed dream team of David Shapiro, the deputy chairman of Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg, and he's accompanied by Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. Now, gentlemen, I must admit that we had a bet the other day, and the bet was that the Dow Jones would go to 25,500. That's what you said, before it would go to, I can't remember the other level, 15,500.
It was
20,500. You said 25,500. I said 15,500. I was right for a nanosecond, and now I've been horribly wrong, and it's getting very close to there. Look at these markets. David, they're extraordinary, are they not?
They are. Look, who knows what's driving them? Because it's quite unusual. The sentiment is based on markets, economies opening up. But I didn't think it would have such an impact. And I don't know what the dynamics are behind it, whether it is fear of missing out, but it's quite aggressive. And strangely, Lindsay, it's not in the FANGs. It's not in the more popular stocks. It's in recovery stocks. So, right across the board, and we've seen a similar move in Europe. So there is this thirst for equities, and I would imagine a lot of fund managers are underexposed or underweight and might have to play a bit of catch-up. You know, even if it's a little bit of exposure, you can do a lot of damage to some of those share prices, I mean, on the way up. So unusual. But listen, I'd prefer it to be where it is now than where you said it would be.
Oh, goodness me, so am I. I mean, that was a classic hedge. It's like me betting against Ipswich or something with Paddy Power. Yeah. Because if Ipswich lose, then I win. But if they win, then I'm happy. So it's almost the same thing. And Nick, another explanation for this is something that you, myself and David have been talking about, and that is the punting factor. Because people sitting at home, number one, and not being able to bet on sport, number two, means that a lot of small accounts have been opened and people are punting stocks, whether it be in South Africa, whether it be in the United States or wherever it is. And you came out with something this afternoon which I found fascinating. Please tell us more.
Yeah, so there's a number of trying to figure out why we're running high, and I think there's a number of places we can look for some answers. I mean, first and foremost, for me, I mean, the bulls kind of have it today. You know, on the left hand side, the bulls have it, you know, off the long day weekend. The S&P, from a technical aspect, the S&P has crossed over the 200-day moving average, which since the beginning of time is a reasonably good indicator of at least a change in trend. Of course, the caveat is that it has to hold that level, and I think this Friday's close will be quite important. That's the first one. Second one, 3,000 level. We spoke about this morning, Lindsay and I, that triple O level is quite an important level, and it's sort of broken through that. And then also for those technical analysts out there, you know, the Fibonacci is also quite a very well followed technical level. The 61.8% was on the Fibonacci, was sitting exactly around these levels too. So all three of them have broken them. And then I think also just what David was touching on now, you know, that the fear and greed index level is neutral to almost fear. From being extreme greed, it's kind of in the middle now. And I also get the impression that it's a little bit of a hated bounce we've got here. You know, people are the last week, especially the last couple of percent, I guess, from maybe about I'd say the last 60, 70 points on the S&P, I've seen a lot of tweets, a lot of professional traders going, "This is ridiculous. We're going to crash." You know,
in other words, they're short.
Casino all over again. Yeah, maybe short, Lindsay, but also I think, you know, we've seen this before when people almost refuse to accept it. And I keep on going on about this. Sometimes you just got to trade what's in front of you. And right now, for me, certainly appears to be that the area of least resistance for now is to the upside.
Yes, but what about the amount of accounts that have been opened? I mean, you sent me a Charles Schwab graph of the number of accounts that have been opened.
Yeah, I sent it to the both of you because David's been, we joked about talking about the kids, but I mean, I think there's some real sort of truth behind that. There's some truth behind the keyboards because, you know, Charles Schwab, E-Trade and Interactive Brokers, three of the four biggest U.S. online brokers. I mean, these guys are monsters. They have millions of accounts. And they each had record number of account signups in March or April. I mean, they added 780,000 new customers for the month of March.
That's okay? Astonishing.
That is three times the monthly average of the past 2 years, when effectively, you know, I was like hiding under my desk. I was so petrified of this market. But for 780,000 people out there, this was the buying opportunity of the millennium, steaming in there. And I think we can't ignore it. As David's been saying for a while now, you cannot ignore the amount of people sitting behind their keyboards at home.
And they tend to be more bullish than bearish. I think newcomers, anybody's opening an account, I don't think are sophisticated enough to decide to go short. There might be some who feel that way. So I think by and large, they're going to buy the market rather than sell the market. Somewhere they might, and probably gearing themselves up as well. I'm just trying to get some volume numbers because yesterday I was going through some of the big gainers. I saw Marion Roberts was up 16%, you know, as I was doing a closing report or just making notes. I said 16% on their trading updates, and it doesn't warrant that. But there was no more than 1.3 million rands worth of shares. That's nothing. You know, I mean, it's honestly, it was a trade in a few hundred shares. And right down the list, very similar gainers were driven up by very, very small volumes.
If you're a day trader with a bit of money in your pocket, I mean, this is like manna from heaven for you in this sort of environment.
Yeah, sure, because you're paying up for it. But I mean, if you happen to be wrong,
but you can bully it. You can also bully it around.
Sure.
You know, my point being what you're saying about a million shares in Marion Roberts. I mean, you know, with a couple of million rand, you can bully the stock around quite easily if you wanted to, in these thin markets.
Yeah, I suppose the market is always bigger than any account, and eventually you'll get your comeuppance. But I see what you're saying. Let's have a look at a couple of the companies that were featured on the Stock Exchange News Service today. I think let's start with Absa, actually, and stay with you, David, if we can, because Absa came out with a trading update and trading statement. The share price up around about 5-6% as I look at my delayed screen, but it didn't look particularly good. So obviously the market was expecting worse.
Well, no, I don't think so. I think what happened is that all the banks are up today. I mean, and if you look at the Absa numbers, and this is on the back of some very, you know, grave warnings that came out of Nedbank and also out of Investec as well. And I think we've had quite a bit of sell-off in banks, and it just happened to be one of those positive days where I think overall, people felt it was, there was value there. And so I think it's just gone up with the whole market. I don't think anybody really paid attention to it, but I think we should pay attention to it. I think, you know, what they are warning about is quite serious. So, you know, it's not what they've done up to now. It's what they look like, to the end of June. So, you know, just be a bit cautious.
Yeah.
It's been all over. You know, Lindsay, look at the banks, ignore today. I think overall the banks are down. Nedbank, I think, being the worst, and maybe Investec, which are down since the beginning of the year, 60-70%. So most of the banks are down well over 50%. So they've had a horrid time, and a lot of it is probably building in what we're seeing in the numbers and warnings coming through at the moment.
Okay, so the banks are steer clear at the moment from the tone that I'm getting from David, Nick. But what about Coronation Fund Managers? This was a good set of numbers, and we spoke about it this morning, and you were extolling the virtues of Coronation because of their generous dividend.
Look, that comes with a little bit of an asterisk because, as we know, Coronation is one of the few businesses I've come across in modern times. Obviously, the old partnership banks of yesteryear are gone, but Coronation, to a certain extent, is a bit of a partnership. The staff and a lot of the members still have huge interest, equity interest in the business. So I would take that that dividend payment with a little bit of a pinch of salt, because I think there's a lot of people near the top who need that dividend payment.
Oh, you mean a bit of incestuous nepotism, maybe?
No, don't say it like that. But it is. I mean, it's well accepted that the remuneration structure, which has never been divulged amongst management and effectively their inverted commas partnership, is very generous. So they are. But on the back of that, I mean, that's why you buy Coronation as a shareholder myself. That's why I like the share, because they do have a history of paying good dividends, because I guess their interests are aligned accordingly. But nevertheless, I mean, in this environment where I'm just like pulling my hair out with a number of companies cancelling or delaying dividends, I still think it was quite nice to see. And I thought the numbers were quite good, actually.
Yes, they were good. And hopefully they'll get better as the market recovers. And maybe the results don't quite fully reflect the recovery in the market. Famous Brands, David, came out with a set of results for the year ended the 29th of Feb. Share price up nearly 5%, again on my delayed screen. But, I mean, it's just a bounce back. Yeah, it's a little bounce back.
It's the same story from where, you know, whence they've come. I mean, they've been hurt very badly. They went into this situation, or the current situation, already, you know, in a negative environment, you know, the South African economy slowing down. And they give the same kind of warning. So these results up to March, which are a big improvement from what we've seen in the past, largely because of the write-offs in, what's it, the Great Burger Company?
Gourmet Burger Kitchen.
So yeah. I think there's been a big turnaround from a very low situation, but they give warnings as well. You know, 38% of their restaurants are casual dining, which means people coming in and sit down and order meals. Slaves are gone. You know, they're not doing anything. So they're doing okay on the quick service restaurants, which is, I say 60% of them. But I mean, when you've got 38% not functioning, then you're going to take, you know, you're going to take punishment, well, certainly for a couple of months.
Yeah, I wasn't that enthusiastic. I'm leaning along with David's view. You know, they once again, these guys cancelled the dividend. And again, be careful out there, dear listeners, because this is up until February. You know, this is not including the depths of the horrors of March and April.
It's a month late compared to other companies as well, which disturbs me.
Well, I think it's just their reporting line, but still, it doesn't show the this is the BC. This is before COVID. Doesn't show the full picture, and I still think there's a lot of pain to come. So, yeah, maybe they're seeing a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, but I'm not. I think I'll be a bystander on this one for now.
Okay, business news coming out here. It says coronavirus to cut South Africa's 2020 mining output by 8 to 10%, according to an industry body, whatever that body is. It seems a little bit generous to me, actually. South African Airways aims to resume domestic flights in mid-June. I don't know about you chaps, but I don't know if I really want to get on a plane after they've been sitting around for 3 months doing nothing. I don't want to. I mean, I saw that Pakistan International Airlines crash a few days after the airline opened up, and it was horrible. It was going from Islamabad, I think, to Karachi. It crashed on. It could have been something else, but I'd get slightly nervous. I'd like to know that they'd flown them around a bit, you know, and tested them out. You see what I mean, David?
You think the pilots have lost their touch?
No, it's not the pilots. It's the maintenance of the aircraft.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, do as Cummings did. You know, take a little test flight just to test your eyes before you come back. You know?
How ridiculous was Dominic Cummings? I mean, come on now. I drove to this village for 30 minutes or whatever the period or what the distance was in order to test my eyesight. I mean, I've got so many analogies that are really not for a family show like this. But I mean, if you want to test something, you don't.
There's some lovely sort of memes doing the rounds as well with the castle they went to go visit, and they've sort of changed the sign of the castle to an eye test on the side of it. People are funny. Very quick and very humorous. Very funny.
Yes, anyway, let's not get on to that. But anyway. SAA coming back, domestic flights from mid-June, which is a very good thing. 2020 mining output, we've done that. And we talk about the US markets, and they are really going well. David, do you buy the whole vaccine story? At last count, I saw, according to CNN, 132 companies in the, not advanced stages, but various stages of developing a vaccine, and some are more advanced than others. Even when it comes out, I mean, surely it'll only be a year before we can have it jabbed in our arm.
Well, I think maybe they're going to shortcut that and get through some hoops. As long as they can prove that it reduces the or increases antibodies, that might not eliminate it. I think they'll probably buy it. But what's the story around that is really how much money is being thrown at finding a vaccine and how many different companies are looking into it and see an urgency to do so. So, we will only get full recovery once we have a vaccine.
Yes, you're quite
right. You know what I mean? Until then, it's going to be, I know that the Economist spoke about the 90% economy. You know, we're still going to be the 90% economy, however you want to interpret that extra 10%. People fearing getting on the aeroplane exactly like you are doing, you know, you're saying now, we're not going to go, I'm not going to go to work, you know, being my age and worried and quite worried about, you know, South African situation. Yes, I'm not saying I'm not going to go, but I'm going to be reluctant to integrate socially and get back to my normal life until such time as this has been eliminated. So we have to get that vaccine, you know, before we can actually get back to full tilt.
Are you saying that you're actually nervous about this now? I mean, it's not because of your age, David, sure. Let's face it now. We know that you are fitter than any person 30, 40 years younger than you, and you're not going to get it. You don't drink too much. You don't smoke. You don't take drugs.
That actually. If you drink and smoke, you can actually obliterate this thing. That's why maybe I am too open to it.
No, but seriously, but you're saying that you won't go back to work, and I know you love annoying people.
Well,
and going to work,
I'm nervous. Yeah, I must admit, I'm a little cautious of it. I don't even want to get flu at this stage. So I will be reluctant to. Let's put it this way: I'm going to be cautious, cautious about where I go and who I see. You know, am I going to go to TV appearances? No, I'd rather do it as we're doing here. I'm quite happy doing, these kind of Zoom appearances rather than actually going to a TV studio.
Very good.
I think this is tying in the rhetoric. I heard I was listening to a podcast from Rick Ryder. He's the chief investment officer of BlackRock. And he was sort of lamenting on about how he couldn't stand Donald Trump going on about how we're going to get back to where we were in March, whatever it was. He says, as far as he's concerned, that's never going to happen. We're never going to get back in any shape or form to where we were in January or February. He said, we can hope we can get back to maybe of some form of a couple of years ago. But he said he believes, and certainly their firm's view is that people's habits have changed significantly in some areas.
Yes.
And David speaks about going back to work, and I'm on a similar ilk. I mean, the last thing I intend to do is book a trip on a cruise, you know, a giant floating Petri dish. I mean, that's the last thing I'm going to do. And gyms, I mean, they say like the gym model. We heard Brian Joffe talking about his exposure to the sports business through Sports as well, and his feeling that the gyms are far away. People are going to be exercising more from home. And so the story goes on. So I guess all we can try hope from an investment point of view is that the habits return to some sense of normality, but they're never going to be back to where they were.
No, they're not. I mean, the trends that have become entrenched over the last 3 months have reversed the trends of the last three decades. They are irreversible definitely. Now. I'm sorry. They are irreversible for a decent percentage of the population. The dollar rand.
I mean, Lindsay, you know what we've been – you know what I've been looking at? If you look at some of the U.S. companies, the names that are popping up that I've never heard of before. And the reason are that these are motor companies or alternatively secondhand traders, what do you call them, you know, used car traders or distributors and that, and people preferring to hold on, first of all, to hold on to their cars rather than sell them and trade them, but otherwise also to travel. You know,
but you know what?
They're going to do road trips rather than get onto an aeroplane.
Quite right.
Do you know what struck me this afternoon, gents, is I was chatting to a client and she was talking about a daughter living in London and she was a financial advisor and her business was very much part of the sharing economy. She said they had a floating desk and she worked 2-3 hours on the road, 2-3 days on the road, went to go see her clients. That was the way she ran her business. And she'd come back and they'd all have a floating desk. You'd pick a spot and off you go. But that sharing economy, which was your WeWorks, you know, the Ubers, like you share and touch everything. I mean, that's blown that theme out the water. I mean, WeWork as a model, I mean, that must be the worst time model in the history of the world. The fact that we all share office space and share the same desk, touch, feel, long comes COVID-19. I mean, that sharing economy, which was a buzzword in January and February. Mm. And a lot of those companies that came to market were the back of the sharing economy. I mean, that's put that theme completely blown it out the water.
Completely. Lindsay, there's one positive is that, you know, every time somebody scores a goal now when you watch a soccer match, they're not going to go and run to the corner flag. The whole squad's not going to go run there and
give the goals. Other.
Give this goal scorer a bit of a buggery, you know.
Well, I quite like that over-exuberance. You know, these young chaps, they're only earning £100,000 a week. They enjoy a little bit of fun occasionally.
You want to rub up against your colleague's hard leg for £100,000 a week? Why not?
Okay. Keep it clean, chaps. There we go. Okay. Let's have a look at the spot prices, if we can. Now, the dollar rand is 17.34, and don't forget that on March the 23rd, it was 19.34. That's a 200 basis point rally for the South African rand. It was overdone on the upside, and it's now coming back to, I think, that probably end of the year, 16 to 17. British pound against the rand, 21.42. Euro rand, 19.05. That was 20.60 at one point. Euro dollar is 109.90. So that dollar is under a wee bit of pressure against the euro at present. The day after Memorial Day, the long weekend. Let's have a look at the gold price. The gold price is 17.10. The platinum price is down 15 at $828 an ounce, down 1.8%. And palladium, Nick Kunze.
That's down 1.4% currently. It's under 2,000, 1,975.
Okay, Dow Jones is soaring towards the trigger of my bet. I don't know what I have to pay you, chaps, but anyway, it's around about 25,100. And Nick, again, give us the live prices for the Dow Jones, S&P and NASDAQ, please.
Okay, so the Dow Jones currently, the live price is up 2.7%. The handle on that, 25,121, almost 700 points to the green. S&P is up 1.7, as Lindsay points out, 3,004, holding at 3,000 level, and finally the NASDAQ, that's up 1.2%.
I think there's a sentimental thing here as well, Nick. I mean, the New York Stock Exchange has opened again for a certain amount of traders with social distancing. So there's a sort of exuberance that could be a factor.
Lift up the Star Spangled Banner. You see your traders back, even though, I mean, they said it's very much the NYSE going back to work today. They're saying like 99% is still being done remotely. Mm-hmm. It's just it's more of a factor that you want to have Larry Kudlow the clown, you know, stand in front there and talk. Incidentally, I'm just watching him talking at the moment in the background, and he says, Larry Kudlow says, Trump is very miffed with China. On the virus.
He's not speaking to Xi anymore, he said. He's cut off all communications.
This is the best one. He's very miffed, quote unquote, with China on this virus. That other matters like that trade deal is just not important anymore. So apparently the trade deal is not a big deal anymore. It's not a big thing. And remember how much the market moved over the last sort of 18 months on just everything that was to do with the trade deal. Apparently, it's no big deal, according to Larry the Clown.
You financial services people, you'll always find something to latch onto. West Texas Intermediate crude up 1.6% at $33.79. Brent crude oil is $35.56, which is barely changed on the day. Let's have a look at what's happened on the JSE today, because there's been some moves. There's been some good moves as well, and I'm going to go for the top five, and you can embellish them with your own ones if you like. But I've got Hammerson up 12%. Pepcor up 10%, Standard Bank up 8.3%, Nedcor up nearly 8%, and Sasol up 7.7%. So you've got property, retail, bank, oil. David?
Yes. Well, and what I want to point out is that total volume is about just over 18 billion. Once more, a lot of these movements are being done on very limited trade. What I do want to say is that over the last couple of days, we have seen property shares pick up quite a lot. And there've been mixed reviews, but I mean, I'm not quite sure whether that's on lower interest rates here or where investors, you know, whether they're seeing the bottom here, but there has been quite a bit of buying. And on the other side, you're going to find when you quote the lows, it's going to be gold again. And I think gold shares unraveling, mainly because the gold price, because of the move out of safe havens, and also because the rand is getting so strong. So those poor gold bulls. But it was there on the chart, you know. It was just so obvious, even for a non.
You did say that, David. You said it about 2 weeks ago. You said it is so obvious. It was a spike and it had to come down again. But you keep on digging at me, which is really just so unnecessary.
Poking the bear. It's just unfair.
Yeah, and Nick as well. Yeah, you're very smug sometimes, Shapiro.
No, and, I'm not. I'm just sorry. No, I'm joking. Because we're seeing it makes our market a lot more difficult to actually make headway. You know, we just because now we've got the rand going the other direction. You're finding
and let me tell you as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I spent most of my career trying to work on what we call like statistical arbitrage, all these big fancy words, and you look at one versus the other correlation. So like if you know you get like apples and apples, and if one apple's not going up as much, you want to buy the one that is going up, kind of thing. And that's what that I've spent my career on. So I mean, there was quite a good trade for years on the JSE where the interest rate sensitive. So you could always, you know, the rand relative to the bond yields, relative to the banking index, the financials, they were very correlated, and understandably so. So you know, as our bond yields sort of firmed up and demand came in, the rand would strengthen, and the banks would get a little bit of a pop. But the last couple of weeks, I mean, even that correlation is completely out of whack. I mean, a day like today, these moves on these banks are like eye-watering. I mean, Standard Bank up 9%. You know, David's mentioned a couple of the others. These massive moves. Capitec up 7%. Rand Merchant up 7.4%. Yet our bond yields today, get this, unchanged. Or is the 10-year note's down 5 pips? It's actually the other way. I mean, we should have probably gone – probably been square, and the rand's a little bit firmer. So the last couple of weeks, it's really these correlations amongst different asset classes are all out of whack, and you get a group of some property shares are up, some are down. So it really is a little bit of a flipping the coin the last sort of 10 days, I would think, unfortunately.
On the downside today, this will please David, DRD Gold down 7.5%, Harmony down 5.6%, RCL down 5.2%, Goldfields down 5.2%, and Kumba Iron Ore down 3.6%. It's all over the place. I will say one thing to both of you is that I've sort of got a fundamental idea in my head that I think the market should be lower, given what I'm seeing, the rise in infections worldwide, whether it be Brazil, Russia, the United Kingdom, or the United States of America. And yet I see the market going up because of the hope of a vaccine that will come into play in maybe a year to 18 months' time, even though, David, you say they will fast-track it. There's a disconnect again, even though the stock market is, of course, an efficient aggregator of information. David, am I being naive again?
Yeah, we can't fathom it out. I don't think you can put a formula for why the market's gone up. And as Nick says, just go with the momentum. You know, go with what's in front of you. And I'm not going to fight that. You know, I would never have thought that we would reach that 3,000 level. When I say as bullish as I was, as more optimistic than I was, you know, feeling that we weren't going to go back to the March 23rd lows. I never thought we'd reach 3,000 as fast as we have. But but if it continues and the money keeps going, you know, this thing can keep keep improving.
Yeah, well, I want to add something in. I mean, David, we spoke about this a couple of months ago. You were sort of going on about how it's overpriced Sun and people can afford BCA research. And their note came out this morning. It's 38 pages long, a special COVID note. But in conclusion, what they said is very interesting. It ties into our conversation right now. They finished this big note, their chief economist says, in the face of such massive uncertainty, it makes sense to adopt a cautious near-term investment strategy. Mm-hmm. Hopes that risk assets can be supported solely by hyper-easy monetary policies from investment banks and central banks is very complacent in their view. The strong bounce in equity prices from their March lows suggests that this is not a bad time to de-risk your portfolios. And I think I'd go along with that. Use this opportunity to maybe take a bit off the table if you've caught it right.
If you've got it, yeah.
This ties in with what you and Lindsay are saying now, that it's starting to get more and more difficult to marry up the one side of what's happening on the ground with the economies and what we're seeing and this certainly not a de-escalation in some of these COVID increases to where we see these asset prices. We just spoke about it now, up above 3,000. Maybe it's a time to use this to maybe de-risk assets if you have the opportunity to do it.
You know, the challenge is, well, what do you do with the cash? And that's a problem. People get bored holding cash.
Spend it.
You know, people, certainly investors don't like to sit with massive cash balances and just kind of go.
If I have to hear one more conversation in my career where someone says to you, I don't pay you to sit in cash, you're a portfolio manager.
I know.
And to a certain extent, they're right. You know, but my argument would be that sometimes you pay someone to have an investment decision to maybe just take a bit off the table. You should go away, Nick.
That's what I mean. You know, not you go away. I mean, one should go away. The problem is that we sit.
What do you mean
here.
Go away? Just move
away from your screen.
You can wander through to my balcony. Yeah. It's about as far as I can go.
That's the problem. Is that we're sitting here, just looking at our screens the whole day. Yeah. You can't go off. You can't say, "Listen, I'm going to go off for a couple of days on holiday and leave the market alone." And that's where the impatience comes. And, you know, you can see it in the day traders. I mean, so I don't know what
the kids are back.
I don't know what they're doing, you know.
The boys are back in town. What was that group? Thin Lizzy, I think, with Phil Lowney. The boys are back in town. So, there was a chap I interviewed yesterday by the name of Garth McKenzie. David, you will know him because he's in and out of the old Summit TV and now the BD TV studios. A very, very diligent, very, very organized person. And he said he'd been doing an exercise, which I could never do. And he looked at the number of stocks that traded over 20 million rands worth per day. And he came up with 74 out of the whole of the JSE Securities Exchange. 74 shares regularly trade over 20 million rands worth per day, which is one and a bit million dollars worth, which is absolutely nothing. And I found that quite staggering in the way he trades and the way that Nick trades and a lot of these small traders that have come into the market since the lockdown are trading. These are the ones that they're looking at. So we've got 74 shares on the JSE. In your day, David, how many shares were there active on the JSE?
The whole market. And I've done that exercise. I've gone back to the 70s and 80s and 90s and that. And if you looked at the biggest companies there, you know, today, if you look at Naspers and Prosus, I don't know, I think they're well in at 20%, depending on which index you look at. But even in terms of market cap, you'll find that the top 10 shares probably are 50% of the JSE. In our day, it was much, much wider spread. And therefore you could go into, there was a critical selection. There was a huge selection of choices that you could make. And again, over a lot of industries from clothing, you know, to clothing manufacturers, to furniture manufacturers, to steel manufacturers. There was a, you know, massive choice, far, far greater than we have today. And every share had a personality. You know, you knew the companies, they were all important. Today, you know, we look at it and that's why on my screen, the most important is I actually have the top 80 capitalized shares. That's it.
Yes.
You know, that's what I watch. So I didn't know. So 70 is probably
74 shares trade regularly more than $1 million worth a day, which is a small number. Nick, what do you think?
Yeah, that is a small number. It's very small. But I mean, that's the kind of, you know, in that sort of space as well, you'll find those shares typically, you know, the spreads are quite wide. You know, it's probably more than a percent or two wide just in the bid and offer spreads. And, you know, for day traders and people who want to sort of, you know, they're market makers on either side, that's where they make their living. But it's a little bit left field for me, I'm afraid, but out of my sort of scope.
S&P plunging at only 3,002 at the moment, only up one.
I was going to say the next bet, let's bet whether
about over
3,000.
I promise you 2 months.
You can redeem yourself.
I can feel something's going to happen. Nick, give us the closing prices of the JSE indices, please, before I lose my bet. Go on.
Okay, closing prices on this Tuesday. So JSE all shares still holding. That 50,000 level, 50,602 now, up 1.06% on the day. Top 40, that is up 100%, 0.96%, up 46,795. And banking shares, as we said, financial, absolutely firing today. That index up 5%, industrials up 3.43%. Telecommunications also have a decent day, 2.25% higher. Energy shares led by that Sasol, that had a good day today. That index up 1.45%. And on the downside, a little bit of the lag is technology down 0.25%, and basic materials down 1.28%. Value traded today, as David said, not much to write home about, 18.2 billion, which is actually quite well down on the last couple of sessions.
Well, in fact, yesterday it was 11 billion, but that was because of the lack of participation from various markets, which we need not speak about. Okay, my quotes of the day come from President Xi. He says the following: during the long process of history, by relying on our own diligence, courage and wisdom, Chinese people have opened up a good and beautiful home where all ethnic groups live in harmony and fostered an excellent culture that never fades. Okay, try telling that to the Muslim people. But anyway, I won't get into that. But the one I quite like is the one that follows this. He says, some foreigners with full bellies and nothing better to do than engage in finger-pointing at us. First, China does not export revolution. Second, it does not export famine and poverty. And third, it does not mess around with you. So what else is there to say? I think I know where he's going with that one. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
You mean the fat belly?
Exactly.
That's Pompeo.
I think both of those little fatties, the other one as well. Gentlemen, thanks very much for your time this evening. David Shapiro is the Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg, and Nick Kunze is from Sanlam Private Wealth, and that was The 5 o'clock Shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.